See, there are parts of your car or truck that you just don't have much awareness of. They don't make the characteristic odd sounds when they go wrong or otherwise make great changes in the performance of your vehicle, but they do make a difference in how your vehicle operates. Great example is the catalytic converter. It takes some of the stuff your engine cranks out and makes it less harmful to breathe. Sounds like alchemy, but it is chemistry, and most of the time it works. But things can go wrong with your catalytic converter, and so that's what we'll talk about in this month's edition of The Squeaky Wheel. Our car expert is, as always, Zach Edwards, the proprietor at Ashland Automotive. Zach, always good to see you in the studio.
Good to see you too, Jeff. Thanks.
So catalytic converters have been standard equipment for, 30, 40 years now, maybe?
Yeah, I think my old Volkswagen bus had a catalytic converter on it. It was a California emissions van, and so it's a 1978.
Okay, so a long time they've been on there. And what are they doing? What are these catalytic converters silently doing underneath our cars?
Well, their primary job is to convert natural byproducts of combustion into more environmentally friendly byproducts, and so that's somewhat debatable, but
debatable that they're environmentally friendly
friendly. They used to think carbon dioxide was fine, just put tons of it out there because it's much better than carbon monoxide. And so carbon monoxide, CO, is one byproduct of combustion, and another one is hydrocarbons. So the job of the catalytic converter is to convert hydrocarbons and carbon monoxide into two different things, mainly carbon dioxide and water. And that's why you'll oftentimes see water dripping out of tailpipes of cars.
Okay, that steamy looking stuff is in fact steam and water coming out there as well.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right. It's not getting all stored in there. The catalytic converter is not the size of a house or something. It's really about the size of a muffler, isn't it?
Yeah. And some cars have multiple catalytic converters now. They'll have pre-CATs and main CATs. We just call them CATs for short. But, some cars have, if you have a V6 or a V8, it might have a catalytic converter for each bank of cylinders. And then some cars have pre-CATs and regular CATs for each bank. So there's four catalytic converters on some cars. And then some cars actually have five. They'll have two banks of catalytic converters, and then they'll have a post-CAT, like for a final cleanup.
Okay.
And these are all attempts by cars. Cars are under car manufacturers are under incredible pressure to meet the standards set forth by the EPA
for emissions.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so they're a lot of times, if they come up short, they have to throw another catalytic converter on the back of the system to try and clean things up. Or it depends on what their other product lines are doing as well, because they can get credit for one car that they can apply to another car that's having a shortfall. So,
you mentioned your late 70s Volkswagen van, and as a California car, and California actually kind of set the pace for this. I mean, California had such a smog problem in the 60s, has a lot to do with the fact that there are catalytic converters in the first place, I think.
Yeah, they do. They are kind of, trailblazers, and they go against the grain, and to the dismay of lots of us in our industry or to car manufacturers as well, I'm sure. But it's their standards are actually much more strict than the rest of the 49 states. And so I actually just heard that Oregon is contemplating adopting the California clean air standards in lieu of current regulations going by the wayside.
Does a car that has to pass the California standards have additional equipment or
it does, it has additional not even necessarily additional but different equipment, mm-hmm. that might be more elaborate or just conforms to different specifications, so equipment that might just operate in a different manner.
All right, so let's come back to the catalytic converter itself, though, because this is really chemistry going on just between your engine and and the end of your tailpipe, where the catalyst is doing the job of changing a chemical, mm-hmm. into something else or splitting it into different things anyway. So that's the sense of what's going on. So what's inside the catalytic converter that makes it do all this essentially wizardry?
It's precious metals, actually, and that's why the catalytic converters are so expensive. So the metals, platinum, mm-hmm. rhodium and cadmium are usually the three primary elements inside a catalytic converter, and they're in the form of a coating on a honeycomb. It's kind of It's like it looks like a screen for your screen door, except it's very thick. And so, you know, it's maybe a couple inches thick. And the exhaust gas passes through that honeycomb or that screen. And as it passes through there, that's when the catalyst is in effect and changes the compounds and into different compounds. And so the thing that we're running into a lot right now in our shop is catalytic converters are failing at a rate which we're not accustomed to. There's a lot more catalytic converter problems than there used to be. And, you know, we're not scientists or engineers per se, but our theory is that the precious metals are very expensive. Mm-hmm. And so manufacturers are inclined to use the least amount of them as possible to achieve the greatest results. And so these catalytic converters are really, they're fragile in a way. You could think of them as fragile. And so things that lead to the failure of a catalytic converter now are the same, but the converters are much less tolerant of, you know, let's say a worn out set of spark plugs.
Ah, okay. And so certainly a lot more expense to replace. We're talking about catalytic converters here in our monthly Squeaky Wheel segment with Zach Edwards from Ashland Automotive. Maybe you've had some issues with the catalytic converter you'd like to talk about. We'd like to hear from you. 800-838-3760 to join by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So when you talk about cost, I mean, what does a catalytic converter cost off the shelf?
Some of them we've seen upwards of $2,500.
Wow.
Yeah. So for, you know, a German car or, you know, it doesn't have to be a German car, actually. I'm just thinking of one in particular.
It sounds like a BMW.
Volvo converters are pretty expensive. Mm-hmm. BMWs for sure. Audi converters. But also, you know, Toyota converters can be very expensive. Lexus converters.
Mm-hmm. Is there a lifespan for a catalytic converter? I mean, it seems like with the amount of stuff you have in there, particularly if the coatings are thin,
you know,
you're
going
to use up all your platinum after a while.
They're designed in theory, and this is the conventional wisdom, they're designed to last the lifetime of the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
But that is assuming that the owner is taking all the preventative maintenance steps in order to, you know, keep that car in the greatest condition possible.
So the vehicle's maintained to a reasonable level of good repair.
Yeah.
So are there things you can do specifically to maintain the catalytic converter, or is it more about just keeping the car in good tune so you're not asking too much of the catalytic converter?
No, there's definitely things you can do. The scheduled maintenances, or the maintenance schedule, I should say, for each manufacturer, there's a lot that goes into the design of that maintenance schedule, and a lot of consumers and even I would say professional automotive technicians, there's a lot of them that might not be considering that the maintenance schedule is designed with a lot more in mind than is tangible. And so one of the things that I know the engineers are thinking of when they design that schedule is the life of the catalytic converter. And so for instance, a certain car manufacturer might call for the replacement of the spark plugs at 30,000 miles. And a certain technician might pull those spark plugs out and look at them and think, this is ridiculous. These plugs look brand new. They can go at least another 30,000 miles. And the technician puts the plugs back in. And the car does go another 30,000 miles without needing the spark plugs. But what's happening on a much more microscopic level is that the combustion in the cylinder for which that spark plug is responsible for providing the spark, that if that spark is reduced in efficiency or in quality, the combustion of the gasoline and air in that cylinder is, in effect, the efficiency of that combustion is greatly reduced.
Yeah, burning
on a
everything.
Microscopic mm-hmm. level.
Mm-hmm.
And what then has to happen is the catalytic converter has to work extra hard to clean up the excess hydrocarbons that wouldn't otherwise be there if the spark was hotter from that spark plug, or cleaner, or more better, for lack of better words, that spark needs to be a certain quality. And when it's not, the driver doesn't even notice it, but the catalytic converter notices it, and it works extra hard in order to do its job.
All right, so it sounds like the message here is the catalytic converter remembers. You know, the catalytic converter knows what's going on in the car because everything that comes out of the car comes through the catalytic converter. So it certainly will wear out over time. How do you know when something is amiss with the catalytic converter? It has no moving parts, right?
Right. Oftentimes it's it'll start with a check engine light and mm-hmm. there'll be catalytic converter efficiency codes. And as we progress in, as the technology progresses in automobiles, the codes available to the technician or to the anybody interfacing the car's computer, the amount of codes are increasing. So as we evolve, the number of codes available for the catalytic converter is increasing. So that's the first sign. Eventually, what can happen is the catalytic converter honeycomb melts. It can overheat.
It does get really hot there.
Yeah, I think internal combustion temperatures of a catalytic converter are somewhere around 2,500 degrees.
Ouch.
So, and that's at normal operating condition. So if they're trying to process a bunch of raw, unburned fuel, say from a spark plug that's completely failed, and you still have that fuel injector spraying fuel into that cylinder, and you have raw fuel entering the exhaust stream going through there, and that can cause a catalytic converter to internally overheat, melt down, eventually causes a restriction in the exhaust, and then the car just stops running.
Do you get back pressure in the engine at that point?
So we got to remember the engine is basically a big air pump. It sucks air in, mixes it with gasoline, burns it, and pumps it out. So if you thought of that like water, a water pump, if you're trying to pump water from one lake into another lake and half that pipe gets plugged, it just stops pumping.
That's a great analogy, the big air pump. I've got to remember that for the future. We're talking to Zach Edwards in our monthly The Squeaky Wheel segment about catalytic converters. Join in. You got questions about catalytic converters, what they do or what they're doing on your car in particular, give us a call at 800-838-3760 or send an email to jx@jeffnet.org. John and Eugene sent an email. He says, if I start my 2003 Subaru Forester and shut it off after less than a minute, it stinks, in capital letters. This has been happening for 3 or 4 years. Is that a cat converter issue? He adds, the vehicle uses a little coolant, 2 cups, though not through a leak, every 6 months. So catalytic converter stinking. I mean, my car smells a little funny sometimes, too.
Well, it's funny. He says that if he shuts it, starts it up and shuts it off, it stinks. But what does the smell smell like? And so if you've ever been on the freeway and you get that really, maybe when you're entering the freeway, you get that strong smell of rotten eggs, it's usually the catalytic converter on the car in front of you.
Uh-huh.
I think that's sulfur dioxide. And that is a natural smell from certain catalytic converters that when they're working really hard. And so the car in front of you is accelerating, trying to get up to freeway speed. So there's a lot of fuel running through that engine at that point, and the catalytic converter is dealing with more hydrocarbons than if it was idling.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're going to smell that sulfur dioxide. But that would not be a smell I would think would be happening in the morning after a quick start and then shut off the car. So mm-hmm. The coolant consumption issue that he's talking about, I mean, he could be smelling the sweet smell of antifreeze. He could be smelling the smell of raw fuel, because a car starts with in a cold start is always an enriched fuel mixture. Mm-hmm. So you're going to smell more gasoline in the morning, especially
the
from an older
air.
Car.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, with a newer car, it's not going to be the same. But with a 10-year-old car, my Audi, I know you can almost watch the fuel gauge.
Really, when you start
the cold start in the morning, yeah, I can smell the raw fuel coming out the tailpipe.
So I want to talk a little more about the heat of catalytic converters, because this is really important. But you know, after 30 years of living in Southern Oregon, I've learned from more than one fire story that sometimes people just sightseeing, pulling their car off into the tall grass in the summertime, starts a fire because the catalytic converters do get that hot.
Yeah, they ride low too. You know, they're just right there at the bottom of the car, inside in the tailpipe, like in between the muffler and the engine somewhere. And yes, you know, tall, dry grass and catalytic converters are not a good mixture.
So if you're getting a code, if you're getting like the, looks like we get the P0420 low converter efficiency, does that mean, is there something you can do short of replacing the catalytic converter to take care of that situation?
Yeah, there has to be some tests performed first. So you've got to remember the catalytic converter, you mentioned earlier, it remembers, but it doesn't actually remember. It doesn't have, you know, it's just a machine. And so, and a machine with no moving parts, but it's just there to do one thing. And so the car's computer is really wanting to make sure the converter is able to do its job. And how it realizes that is by looking at the oxygen sensors. There's one oxygen sensor in front of the catalytic converter and one behind it. And what it's looking for is very, very different readings, so indicating that the oxygen content of the exhaust coming into the converter is way different than coming out of the converter. And if it's seeing a certain threshold of difference, then it assumes everything is okay internally. If those two oxygen sensor readings become too close, then the car's computer is going to set a warning code saying, we think there might be a problem. Of course, then a technician needs to go in and actually run a couple of tests because, like you said, the converter, you can't really see. I mean, there's a coating on the honeycomb, and certainly with a camera, we can go in and see a melted down honeycomb. But when it's in the beginning stages of failure, we can't see that. And oftentimes, the goal is to get that light off so that the car can pass, you know, emissions checks.
Yeah, which we get in the Rogue Valley. John and Eugene emailed back, yes, rotten eggs.
Aha. Uh-huh. So maybe definitely it is a catalytic converter problem, or it could be the fact that the car could be running off its normal program. So it could be running far more rich than it's designed to be running at a cold start. It could have a problem with its cold start system. And so the catalytic converter is having to work extra hard during cold starts, and he's smelling that byproduct. So definitely bring it to your local shop and tell them about what's going on, and hopefully they don't dismiss you and send you down the road.
If they do, he'll take you to Ashland Automotive. The before we go, I want to ask about the check engine light. How many different incidents, how many different kinds of codes can make the check engine light come on?
Oh, it's, you know, it's thousands.
I figured it
was
something.
Yeah, I mean,
high.
I
okay.
can't, I don't even know anymore how many available codes there are, but I think it's approaching, you know, in the 2,000
okay.
codes,
maybe,
probably.
Maybe that'll be a future program. We'll
yeah,
talk
I'll
about
check into it.
Check engine light. Zach Edwards, always our guest for the Squeaky Wheel every month. He's the proprietor of Ashland Automotive. Always good to see you, and thanks for giving us an education on catalytic converters this month.
Thanks, Jeff.